But it is my pleasure to welcome you to this session called Taking Care of Ourselves, Women Getting It Done. This afternoon's session will be presented by Rana Lichtenberg. And she is, Ms. Lichtenberg is the president of Clear Peak Communications and a speaker, coach, and author. So please join me in welcoming Rana Lichtenberg. Thank you.
Come on in. So this is going to be totally different from the other sessions, in that in the other sessions there was an expert who talked and talked and talked and talked, which was great, and then there were questions at the end. But I'm going to encourage you all to work together. So before I even introduce myself, I'd like you to look around and see if there was someone you would like to sit next to, or three of you who would like to sit together. If you are sitting next to someone you have taken an instant dislike to, get away from her as fast as you can. Just say, I'm allergic to your fragrance, anything will work in this crowd. But we're going to actually talk with each other, so you need somebody to talk to. I see a lonely soul over there. I see a man not good. I see another woman who's alone. So I'm encouraging everyone to sit next to someone who looks like somebody you'd like to talk to. So instant assessment. Is this a potential friend or someone who's like... Yes, yes.
And Sarah has a box of...
Yes.
We have a box of chocolates that we have for... Just because of women.
So great. Would you hand them out?
Yes.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay. So, we're going to start, and basically, y'all are going to, we're going to do what you want to do. I've got some slides. I'll tell you about me. I have some things to spur a conversation. But at any time, you can say, girlfriend, speed that up. I don't want to do that. Let's talk more about that. We can do what we want because we're women, right? Which would you rather hear about first, my professional background or my medical history? Medical. Okay. So I was finally diagnosed as a CVID patient 9 months ago. I believe I've had CVID my entire life. How many of you have gone to doctors who, right, I don't know what's wrong with you. How can you have so much wrong with you? Well, yo, that's how I have so much wrong with me. I also now have, you know the slide about CVID patients get lymphoma? I have a non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and I have Waldenstrom's. Every doctor I say that to said, I thought that was just a board question. It's just a really weird, lazy lymphoma. So I've got my, my B cells are just kind of a mess, is the answer. And I think that my life, I'll get to the rest of my life by saying that in the second grade, it's the first time I can remember that I had bronchitis. Although at the time, they didn't really know that's what it was. And I remember the cough, and I remember feeling so awful, and I remember my whole body hurting. Who of you who have CVID has muscle aches? Right? So I said, I really hurt. And the pediatrician, God bless him, told my mother, God bless her, your daughter's a liar. Your daughter's a liar, and you can't listen to a thing she says. She's making all this up. Make her go back to school. And throughout my medical history, every time something went wrong, the doctor would write a note saying, well, she must be lying. I ended up, like 70% of American women, I have HPV. Does everybody know what HPV is? Human papillomavirus. I will say that in college, I really liked to get engaged. I thought you couldn't actually do it unless you were engaged, and I was engaged more than once. So I have had HPV since college. I had an emergency hysterectomy when I was 26. And I've spent the last few years saying to my gynecologist, are you sure there's not something wrong with my immune system? I've had every kind of skin cancer you can have except melanoma. I have had a thyroidectomy, tumor of the ulnar nerve, hip replacement, knee replacement. I had a kidney stone I'll tell you about later. Oh, and my last surgery, I had surgery this year in February because it turned out, although everyone had told me that it wasn't possible I had this, I had a hiatal hernia this big, and so I had a robotic fundoplasty where they had to take off the hernia, fix my esophagus, move my stomach somewhere. So, you know, when you go to the doctor and it says, you know, who are your doctors, what are your meds, what's been wrong with you? I sort of feel like, yo, dude, I can't even fill this out. So that's my medical history. Now, my work history has been pretty interesting because I just kept working all the way through of it. I was a senior corporate officer at a big company. When I left there, I've written three books. The one that you guys might like is called Pitch Like a Girl. I wrote for Oprah. Yes, I've met Oprah. I was a contributing editor for O Magazine and wrote about work issues. And I was on a television show on Lifetime with Dana Reeve and Deborah Roberts, where we talked about women's issues. And I've learned a lot about something that binds us together, which is we just keep going. Now, I think in my case, being taught so early that nobody would believe me if I said how sick I was, I kept going more than most. I learned to say I was fine when I wasn't, and I learned to keep going until it was way too late. So I'm kind of a master of, that is wrong. That is the wrong way to go. So would you all like to see some of the lessons I've learned and want to share? Would that be good? Okay. Any questions so far? Oh, yes, we have chocolate for all of you. Anything so far while the chocolate's coming out? Yes. I started subcutaneous gamma globulin this last fall, probably in September. So I've only just started treatment. For the, on the Waldenstrom, no, I'm not on treatment yet because I'm what's called clinically managed, which is that I'm not symptomatic yet. And some people, it's funny about the Waldenstroms. You know, when I first found out I had CVID, I thought, oh my God, I could get a lymphoma. And then when they told me, when they did a bone biopsy and said, you have a lymphoma, it was kind of great news because I didn't have to worry about it anymore. You know, okay. What else am I going to worry about? All right. So, you know, you can just fill out the forms now. All right. So, this is what I've learned in all these years of doing it the wrong way. And the other thing I wanted to say, how many of you have children with this? I want to say to you, I have lived to have my own grandchildren. You know, they're not from my body, but they're from my heart. And your kids will have a long and happy life. I'm telling you that everything is possible. And I am here to tell you that it doesn't matter. I kept going. I achieved a really fabulous success coming from working in a bar in St. Joseph, Missouri when I was a kid. It's going to be okay. So my main message is, don't worry, it's going to be okay. And this presentation is really not about your kids, but it's about you. Now let's see if I can do this. One of the things I've learned is the importance of resilience. That, you know, I talk to people who complain about bad things that happen to them. And we all hear it every day. Woe is me, something bad happened to me. Sometimes it sounds crazy that they're worried about it. You know, how many of you have ever had a friend who had a really good life who's just miserable over 10 pounds? Right? It's like, really? Yeah, but we all sort of have our ideas about the things that are going to keep us from getting back up. I have a friend who's a doctor, and he told me that he has had patients who are more miserable about having acne than patients who have terminal cancer. Right? So my focus for the last few years has been, what do I have to do to be resilient? I know I'm going to fall down. I know I'm going to hurt. I know there are going to be things I want to do that I can't do. It doesn't matter. What matters is you get back up. You get back up. So that's my first learning for myself, which is, okay, so I made a mistake. Big deal. The next thing I want to do is go on to the next. So, I'm Jewish, and in our family, I'm the one in charge of the Hanukkah party. Everybody knows what Hanukkah is, right? So in my family, and in Jimmy's family, here are the dietary restrictions involved in cooking for my family. We have dairy-free. We have gluten-free. We have people who don't eat sugar. We have people who are allergic to some nuts and not others. We have people who will only eat meat. We have people who won't eat meat. We have people who won't eat fish. And probably a couple of others. So I used to, being a little bit obsessive, try to make an Excel spreadsheet so that I could make something that so that everybody who came to the party could have something to eat. How many of you have done something that dumb? Come on, tell me the truth, right? And I would obsess about it. I remember one night waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning trying to think if there were any green vegetables that were off the list, right? I'm up 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what is there a green vegetable that they can all eat? Because I can't put butter on it, I can't put nuts in it. So I got into a bad place, and the pain, I also have some structural issues, so I needed both a hip and a knee replacement, and I knew that because the pain was so bad, excuse me, for I can't say it any other way, I would sometimes, if I walked more than a couple blocks, throw up in the street from the pain. So Hanukkah was coming up, and I thought, oh great, I'll just start early. And so I did everything. I did everything for everybody. And I was so proud. Who would be proud, right? I am the woman. And then I was in bed for 2 days and couldn't move. And 2 days of not moving wasn't enough, and so then I hit the Percocet. So last fall, I was at NIH. I'm now in an NIH trial. And there were a bunch of things going on, and I talked to the leader of my trial. And I said, okay, Hanukkah's coming. What can I do? And my husband was there, and my husband was sort of growling. You know how they growl when you do too much? And Dr. Fuss said, here's what you can do. You can either not do it, or you can figure out a way that you don't do it all yourself. And I couldn't even understand how I was going to do this without doing it all myself. And I thought about it, thought about it, thought about it, and I finally thought, well, it is not written anywhere in any religious text that other people can't bring a dish, right? It is not forbidden to tell everybody, could you bring what you can eat, something that you can eat and enough for everybody? It was actually horrible for me because I'm used to doing it all. And they all came and I was consumed with feeling inadequate, and it was the best party we ever had. So number one is, you can't do it all, or at least I can't. This is for all you moms. So my daughter-in-law has breast cancer, and she's just entering treatment now, and I've had my grandchildren quite a lot. And one of the things we're dealing with is I have a 14-year-old grandson, kind of easy because he just is texting. You know, every once in a while you throw some food at him, but it's not really such a big problem. His 8-year-old sister is a gymnast and just full of energy and come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. One of the things I've learned is if I'm going to have her spend the night, I have to take a nap in the afternoon. I just cannot take care of her unless I'm rested. That's been a hard lesson for me, that if I don't take care of myself, I can't take care of everyone else. Today, I wanted to see some of the sessions. I really, really wanted to see them. And I knew that if I saw them, I wouldn't have enough energy for you guys. There is a trade-off here, which is You have to think about what do you need to be able to function. For me, usually it's more sleep than I thought I was going to need. I'm going to give you all a chance to think about that for yourselves. That has to be the priority for the day. One of the things that's hard to make a priority is exercise. You know how we've heard several times, exercise is really good for you, exercise is really good for you, and then it, right? Exercise is really good for you, and then there's all these reasons why I can't exercise because I need to do blah, 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 blah. What I've started to do now is I schedule my exercise before I put in anything else. So now exercise is the priority because if I don't do it, I can't be there for them. And I would say that to all of you moms because I've talked to a few of you who are so busy. I know you are so busy. I know you are so busy. If you can't take care of yourself, then, well, you know the end of that. I've seen this one too. I didn't have identity as a CVID patient, so I didn't have a label to say what I was. You know, like, I've had cancer. I mean, I have a lot of labels I could have that are disease labels. I have learned that if I think of myself as my disease, I don't do as well as if I think of myself as me. And what's happening to my body matters in my life, but it's not who I am. So one of the issues I have with all of my doctors is what they say, how would you rate your health? And I would say, I have excellent health, I just have some coding errors in my operating system. I'm fine. Someone didn't take my B cells to school and learn them up, right? So what I have found is that believing I am healthy, which I actually do believe I am, and that I'm okay with that, makes a difference in how I experience treatments, waiting, phone calls, all the stuff about to get attached to being a patient. How many of you have met people who've been attached to being a patient, right? And that's all they are. You know, like the lead of their story is, I've got cancer. The lead of their story is, I've got this, I've got that. And then suddenly everything starts being about the disease. My feeling is the disease has gotten enough for me. It's not going to get all that respect, right? It's a coding error. I had a startup software company. Sometimes they're just coding problems. That's what is in my body. Too bad, so sad, that's not who I am, and I invite you to see if it makes a difference to think about it that way. It's another thing I've had to learn. Primary immune deficiency is a team sport. Now, growing up like I did, believing that I could do it all by myself, did not work for me. So now I have learned that I really need other people to help me, including all of y'all. I have found this conference to be amazing. I'd never met another person who had CVID before. I'd never seen anyone who had CVID before. And to see all of you feeds me. It is helpful to me. I've also found that if you ask people, they're willing to help you out. And they help in the most interesting ways. I've started doing a little consulting again. Just a little bit. I'm trying to work a little bit. And I told one of the assistants, by the way, I have this issue. Thursday is the day I infuse. Wednesday afternoons, I'm not so great. It's better for me not to be out of town on Thursdays. I'm just telling you. You don't have to plan the whole schedule around, but I'm just telling you that if you see something, you're going to know it. Suddenly, meetings were getting moved because she had it in her mind, oh, I want to help Rana out. You know, I want to see if I can help her with her schedule. I've told partners I was working with, by the way, I have some issues going on. I need to stay hydrated. And suddenly there's somebody there with a glass of water. It matters if you think of this as a team instead of just you. Yeah, the coding error is in your body or in your kid's body, but the response to it is bigger than that. And what's great about this conference is there's so many people who are there to help you. I had this great time in the exhibit hall because I found out probably my needle size is the wrong size for me. Well, that's a big deal to find that out. or to find out their different sizes of tubing. People will help you if you consider them part of your team, mostly. Some won't, and if they don't, dump them. Do you guys know the phrase energy vampires, by the way? I first wrote about that can I just brag for 1 second? Just a tiny brag? I did 2 articles for O Magazine on issues similar to this, and they were published, both of them were published in the O Anthology of Best Stories Ever. So that's kind of a cool thing for me. I wrote about energy vampires, and I have learned how to know if somebody in my life is an energy vampire. And by the way, that person is often somebody who's in your family, I'm just saying, or one of your friends. Here's how I can tell you to know if that person's an energy vampire, because it's hard to admit that that's the person who wears you out. I want you to close your eyes for just a moment. Close your eyes. Now, you're looking at your cell phone, and you've seen the name of the person you think is an energy vampire. How do you feel? Yuck? Stomach drop? Tell me. Did you have a negative reaction? You could feel it in your body? Let me see some hands. Yep? Okay. Part of taking care of yourself is choosing how you relate to that person. When you talk to them, how long you talk to them, and when you let it go to call waiting. I dearly, 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 dearly love my brother. I love my brother. I love to talk to him after a speech. I'm just saying. Okay. One of the things that I learned from someone not too long ago, I was quite moved by. She is a coach of mine out of Houston, and she said, here's what happens to the mind. If your mind goes to the past, it'll take you into depression. If your mind goes too far into the future, it will take you into anxiety. So there was a clinical session on depression and anxiety, and folks like us, I've had both. I've had meds for both, and what I've learned is, meds are great, you know, when you get too far either direction, but what has helped me the most is to say, what's happening right now? What is happening right this minute? So, yeah, I have lymphoma. Is anything wrong right this minute? Nah. Am I having chemotherapy while I'm standing here? Nah. Is it killing me right this second? Nah. Today is great. This moment is great. And what I'm finding is that the more I can cultivate the habit of not letting my mind go either to the past or the future, the better I feel. My personal trick when I can't keep myself out of someplace other than the present is to go to the ladies' room and run the water as cold as it can go and put it on my wrist, because it'll snap me back into my body, into the sensation of here I am right now, and it's my own personal reminder not to go somewhere. I think some people use a rubber band, but if you can find one for yourself that calls you home, I think it could be helpful. I love this photo. I just love that girl's face because she's dreaming about what she wants. Does she know how to ask for what she needs? Maybe not. I'll go back to the workplace for a minute. When I first launched my startup, there had been a doubling of the percentage of money that went to women-owned startups. This is 2008. So I'm telling you that twice as much money went to women-owned startups as had gone to women-owned startups before. Since it was a double, you tell me what the percentage was. The percentage of money that went to women who wanted to start their own businesses. Anybody got a guess? 2 is right. 2%. Now, a round of applause. What I found is that sometimes it's hard for us to ask for ourselves. We are great at asking for somebody else. We are fabulous at doing things for others, but asking for ourselves, not so much. Here's a trick to know if you are asking in a way that shows that you're not confident. And I just went through this. I was coaching a woman who had a startup, a great idea that's an application that's a walking application that picks up where your GPS lets off. So you get out of the car, you're disoriented, and it switches immediately to an app that tells you where you're supposed to go, which is great for someone like me who's directionally challenged. She needed to raise $500,000, and she was going into a meeting, and she was going to raise $500,000. Or ask, I think she asked for $100,000. And I said, okay, practice on me. Tell me how you're going to do it. And she said, I need $100,000? I don't think so. The uplift, if you're hearing yourself ask somebody for something and your voice goes up at the end, it means that you're not having confidence in what you're asking for, and you need to think about, I really need this and I should ask. So we all need to know how to ask. The way to learn this is to practice asking for help. Now, I will admit that there's some things I'm a total failure on. Some of you saw my husband, Jimmy, in the back. We've been married for 33 years. I've been trying for 33 years to get him to put the toilet seat lid down. It's a big issue for me because I get up in the night and I sit down and, you know, my bottom's in that cold water and it's nasty. But sometimes it doesn't work, but at least I'm trying. And if any of you see Jimmy, you could also ask him if he would be so kind as to put the toilet seat lid down. It's a basic philosophical issue between the two of us. Okay. And sometimes insist. I'll tell you a quick medical story. In the spring, a year ago last spring, I was going to California. Jimmy and I went to California, and I was there for a meeting with Cisco. And I was going to pitch them on a big strategic planning project. And it was going to be a room full of people. It was a high-stakes thing for me. I was all worked up. I got off the plane, and suddenly I realized I couldn't make it to the bathroom. I was completely incontinent. They're taping this, right? Just have them edit that out. So I called my doctor, and he said, oh, you probably have UTI. And so on the way to Cisco, we stopped and got Depends, which gave me a product idea. I think those should have, like, leopard print at the top or something. I don't understand why they have to be so ugly. I didn't know I had CVID. We went through the summer, and I had a urologist who kept telling me that I had a urinary tract infection. I had a CAT scan that said I didn't have kidney stones. And the urologist kept telling me that I was fine. You are fine. There's nothing wrong with you. You are fine. And I told you about my childhood, and I thought, really, I'm fine? So I went to a new primary care physician, and I said, I don't think I'm really fine. And he said, okay, that was on a Tuesday, right after Labor Day. And he said, maybe we should try another urologist on Thursday. So I was supposed to see him Thursday afternoon. Thursday morning, I go to the old guy, and he said, you know, I think you may have a kidney stone that's stuck. Why don't you and I go right now to the emergency room, and I'm going to put you in surgery. But I didn't trust him. Have you ever had that feeling like, I just don't trust this guy? And I said, you know what? I think I'd like to go see Dr. Perlwitt, a doctor I'd never met before. And he gave me the evil eye, right? And he said, anybody could do the surgery, meaning I can do the surgery. Yo, I can do it. And I said, I really would rather go to him. And in fact, I would like for you to call him because I know you guys refer people to each other. So I'd like you to pick up the phone now and ask him to meet me at Lenox Hill. And he looked at me, and there were two thoughts you could see clearly. One, the balls on this woman, right? I mean, really? And the second thought was, maybe she's going to sue me. So we had a stare down for a minute, got in the cab, went to Lenox Hill. The short version of this is I did, in fact, have a kidney stone that was infected, and I was about to go septic. And they hadn't found it because nobody knew I had CVID and I was unable to mount a fever. My temperature stayed at 97. My white blood cell count wasn't elevated. I went right into surgery. When I came out, the entire urology department was there to see me, and that's how I met my new immunologist. So when I was in his office, it felt like my whole life had been spent getting ready for this moment of, I know you want me to be a good girl. I know you want me to do what you say. It is hard to stand up to a specialist and say, I don't think so. But sometimes in your life, you have to be ready to say, you know what? I don't think so. Because if I hadn't insisted, somebody else would be talking to you now.